So, sisters and bros, the point is that I just finished those recordings, but felt there was still a little more to say, and I can't stop right now. But unfortunately, I have to stop with the videos, because it's so dark. So therefore, let me just speak, talking. I'm going back here. Yeah, I'm at the side of the forest. Now I'm speaking clearly into the microphone. This is even better, maybe holding it with my hand. And so in a way, it is shameful that I now decided not to use any more numbers on my podcast, because printing out all those pages and remembering the past episodes made me also feel makes me always remember back, and somehow from some episodes at least I know what I was talking about in them. For example, 171, I would know it was this Thursday when I saw them both, girls, Zoe and Lily, there. And they were talking in front of me, and I suspect they were talking about me. Why? I don't even know, but something they catched or caught. And they were reflecting it on me, but never mind. And after that I recorded this. Yeah, felt I have to, because somehow probably they're also waiting for me. I mean, I wouldn't even want to, but yeah, my listeners, mainly them, girls, waiting there. So, yeah. And that got a little off track. I had this feeling from those 170s. Somehow got off track. The next day, I recorded this proposition on Friday. TSY14, I said I could. Well, I could also love Zuri. We could be a love trio, but never mind. So, somehow, somehow it will be a loss when I, from now on, refuse to use numbers. But on the other hand, I don't know what I'm doing really. Just let me mention one little thing. Of course, with Manita, that I also love you, or in a way, only want to love you. And yeah, with Lilia, I tell her all this, but as it said in a poem, it's all preparation for love, and can develop very slowly, and therefore, maybe it would be the greatest good to be friends, or as I read there, yeah, I've been talking, conversations with you, this is the greatest good, and hope you can understand this, Manita, that I feel with you, our love has not been explored until the end, and therefore going all in on another life chance wouldn't be that great. And with Lilia, I simply sense, yeah, what I can't endure is being separated from her in a way of not talking even, and this is making me really sick. But it doesn't have to do always with love, and doesn't have to be love or not from the beginning, and could be controlled really, but just I want to be with her also, at least as a friend, and have to tell you, Lilia, so disappointed also with your messages on Christmas, like you're making it appear like I was, I don't know what, kind of a stalker or someone chasing after you, when this is so bullshit, and therefore I had to record all these episodes also to demonstrate to you, yeah, you haven't seen me. I mean, if you want this kind of shit, yeah, I can be a stalker or be chasing you and record all this and publish it, throw it out there on the internet, but you know, this is so childish what you're pulling out there, and especially this last bit, you telling me you're going to the HR department, complaining about my messages on Telegram. It's so bullshit. And in the first place, there is no HR department. Our firm is really a shitty small firm, so I've never spoken to an HR manager. That's simply the normal bosses and executives of Abteilungsleiter taking the job interviews. But I don't mind. So this is point one. Yeah, there is no fucking HR department. But the general point, or my general resentment about this, that why, what are you even doing? Why aren't you? I mean, I kind of also, yeah, not really writing honestly, like telling you everything about love and my feelings, but in a way making allusions, okay? But you also could be honest and could be saying, this is going too far, Simon, why are you making these allusions about love? But you didn't even react, or simply went like in a state of frozenness where you felt, you know, you felt this guy, he has to deliver it in person, he has to come to see me, and this will be so much greater than over the internet. And you're right, but sometimes I want to make this point that I don't see the point of it, of it having to be my task to come to you. And okay, if you leave it like this, then I want to demonstrate that I'm also weak, shy, and scared, and therefore only can dare to open myself on the internet. And yeah, if you don't understand this, then fuck you, just, yeah, leave me alone and just, but sorry, I want somehow, yeah, this anger got into me again, don't know why. Wow, here's a beautiful view now. I see all the city and the church is being, there's some beautiful light shined on it. I guess they now, again, decided they want this light on the church, because earlier, because of all this bullshit, Ukraine war and solidarity or whatever, you have to save energy, and saving the light in many towns. But now they seem to have changed again. The, yeah, it's, I don't know. But so sorry. Why am I now this aggressive? Because it has to be an alternation dialectical, right? That was so tender in this poem. And so this is getting messed up, right? Alternating between videos and podcasts. But the one thing, yeah, about this, Lilia, about your messages on Telegram, I feel there's not one special thing I could point my finger to. Just that as a package, all in all, it leaves also mark on me, leaves me feeling like hurt and feeling like not, at least not wanting to take the first step again to come to see you. And although I love you, or feel so friendly feelings, amiable feelings for you, but no, just what are you doing to me? Why are you acting this way? And this is so stubborn and childish, and yeah, with this HR department, with this making it appear as though, I don't know what, but as though we were co-workers working on the same project, and then I was somehow exploiting this line of communication to unrightfully make some kind of move, intention in a sexual way, and it clearly wasn't this way. I just wanted to, yeah, you know, we were both in a relationship, and I think in a kind of situation like this, where I'd been separated from my girlfriend just for a month, it's not possible to reveal everything, and you don't even know what you think yourself, but yeah. So, now in the car. My mother's car just drove up here to the forest. And yeah, so if you're really gonna behave this way, and you behave this way, well, not only back then, also through all those months until April, when I finally started publishing this podcast to worry about you, but yeah, you're going to let this chance slip out of your hand, the beautiful chance of being communicating amongst us too. And yeah, if you fancy this, then yeah, me too, I'm fine. The same way I told this my ex-girlfriend. that here, Manita. I can't be that guy that tries harder every time to save this relationship. If you want to let it go simply this way, then okay. But what am I even talking about here? Well, just one thing I wanted to mention, that yeah, Googling about this book Acid Communism by Mark Fisher, I saw a beautiful picture, a photo that shows a street on a hill, like really steep street, and there's some illustrious, there's some signs like indicating that there's a hotel. It's all, well, those fancy lights you have in such metropolitan areas. It seems like a big city somewhere in Asia. And then I went after, chased after this picture. There were also all those pink and reddish and pink lights, violet, especially this color I like so much, violet. And yeah, I was looking, where does the picture come from? And it came from South Korea, from Seoul. And yeah, just wow, I thought this would be a great place to visit. Like, this looks spectacular. Then I saw some other photos of Seoul. Looks really beautiful, and especially at night, I think all the skyscrapers and those nice lights and all this therefore I was thinking, now I could also travel there. Yeah, this could be a nice journey. I have to somehow relax my mind, ease my mind by traveling, but this would be so far. Don't even know. But never mind. I knew a guy who had been there back in my days studying at university in Tübingen. He said that he had a girlfriend from South Korea and that he had visited South Korea with her and was so enchanted by the country. And especially one thing he remarked, that the internet there is so fast. Wow, it's like three, said something about the ping. Ping is something you can always test your internet connection, how fast it is on your computer. So he said, I guess, that, what did he say? 3 milliseconds or even less? Nanoseconds? I don't know. But he said that, yeah, beautiful country. And with this, I guess, I want to make a pause here. Going to drive home, which is just a short drive, and when I'm there, I guess I'll sit down in my chair and go on recording here a little. Wouldn't make sense to record another video, of course. I'm narcissistic in a way, I always like to see my own image. Yeah, nice, this white shirt, but no, come on, bro. Today I gotta finish up this recording here, and we'll read maybe the lyrics. Yeah, this would fit nicely now, because I don't know why came up this aggression in me now. And the lyrics of the song Crystalline, talking about I want to break you. And yeah, break you. Because I feel what you're giving me is not enough. Making it appear as I'm this huge hunter, perpetrator, even violating some laws or firm policy, and you are this innocent, weak, in Belarus, who we are without defense, and but it doesn't matter, right? I guess it all has to do that the fact that, what I told my ex-girlfriend in these recordings about Thomas Fischer, the Red Books, Saxon plan. It's not even that easy to reflect on your own sexuality and or on your desires. It's not that way that you can simply look into you and get some clarity about what you do and want. And maybe I can, to a certain degree, through all those reflections, recordings here, but I assume that for other people it's totally different, and like it used to be for me. And this is also something that's maybe not recommendable for anyone, and you might also feel, other people might feel, it's good to keep it in the dark, right? Love lives of this uncertainty and darkness. But with this, I guess I gotta pause here. Because it's so dark outside. So I need to find my cell phone. And there we go. So, I'm at home. Lilia, my winter flower, please just understand me that I didn't want to be so violent to you. But, maybe because of remembering this song, which I want to read the lyrics now. Maybe this got me riled up. So now I will sit here in this beautiful chair. My parents just bought them a few months ago. You can see it there in my Instagram recordings. And I want to read something. What was this even that I wanted to read? Well, I wanted to clarify first for you that, Lilia, I totally want to interpret your action or non-action, the action of not communicating with me. And already in those messages from Christmas, already then not really communicating in an honest manner like we always did in our direct conversations like before Christmas, but reacting to my podcast, yeah, but then admittedly, my message after that, after your frosty reaction or reserved reaction to me telling you about my podcast and being communist, this was too aggressive, I apologize. But you then being that frosty, what does this mean? I want to interpret this as an action or non-action. With which, well, as I said earlier, in the car, or outside the car, that you were putting it this way as if I had chased after you or made some indecent proposals or, yeah. But I was only pointing out subtly all the affection that I felt for you, and that this affection somehow needed an outlet. This outlet. But was I even? No, it was even more subtle than this. It was about politics, and that's the problem. This was the mistake from my side. This is my interpretation. This got you riled up. This got you angry that I was talking about politics. And it is important, communism and stuff, part of my identity, like I read in this poem, in the video recording from the forest. But it's not the main part about life, and therefore you also kind of right to feel disappointed with me. Well, yeah, telling you about my podcast, I could have done this at some point, but just not at this point, when you were going home to visit your family in Ukraine on Christmas. It doesn't even have to do with not telling you in person about my podcast, but simply that this was the wrong time. And this time when you're going home to a country where there's war and it could be dangerous, and I felt this little scared for you. Also, another roommate now from my communal house. She's just moved in, but now went back for 2 weeks on vacation to see her family. But when you told me about this in December, yeah, I felt so scared for you, and everything feels so. In this situation, I should have sent you a love letter or written up something, I don't know, but maybe simply sent this love letter that I wrote up back then and that I already read in my podcast, at least partly. But not the whole part, right? There were some parts left out that were maybe too personal about my love biography, what Manita meant to me. But maybe I can read it someday. Not today, I guess. But it's not essential to read it, just to acknowledge now what came to my mind when I was just driving this little small way from the forest to my house here, my parents' house to be precise, right? Don't want to be presumptuous. Well, then, yeah, this came to my mind that my interpretation for your behavior being that rude or frosty, frozen, rejecting all my communication effort, is that you felt it was inappropriate to talk about my podcast and politics in general, communism, and because it's more important, this love or even friendship, what I told you, I like you much, I even told you this, I guess wrote you this already on Microsoft Teams before we exchanged our numbers. And start writing on Telegram. And I told you this, but in the wrong moment, and in this moment it also felt for me, so this is my point, that you're totally right, if it's that way, if my interpretation is correct, that I also feel it would have been appropriate to follow my heart and tell you, I don't know what, but maybe this love letter should have been sent. I would have been so curious for your reaction to this, if it would have been the same in this way for often. It would have been simply nice to send this out and go back to the office and sit there and watch and see, yeah, this would have been greater than all these stupid podcasts, because I don't know why, because, yeah. Written speech, in a way, is more powerful even than this discourse here. So this is the base problem. This is my analysis now. Analyzing to the core that you were disappointed with me bringing up those topics, which is politics, yeah, important for all our lives, but really also I just want to live my private life and not care every second about these political fights and not being too engaged. Also like this now that there are no party meetings. The Communist Party is in summer vacation, at least my other party comrades, and therefore no meetings. And this is great also to relax. And at times I felt, yeah, it's too much pressure, pretty much being there always every 2 weeks. But of course it's also nice to greet my comrades warmly in case they're listening. I look forward to seeing you. There's this anti-war day coming up next week, 1st of September. I don't know if I can be there because I have to be with my grandfather, but I'll try. But yeah, the point is now, this is my final interpretation. You've been that I didn't have the guts to go even further and therefore you behave in this way as if I had done what you wished I had done, if I had gone further and been really audacious and brazen and like this way masculine, taking all the first steps and telling a girl about your feelings or about this ambiguous, crazy situation of your heart, now being trapped between two girls and not knowing what to do. I believe you feel that polyamory is the way, but still in a way you have to decide at whom to direct your words and your attention, and this feels unfair, and feel this deeply that, yeah, it's somehow unfair. And Manita also is right to be angry at me for not talking in the same broad way about her. I mean, I made these recordings, these videos now in the afternoon. It was great to me. I mean, it was kind of, I already told her about Sol, about this picture I'd seen in Spanish. But in a way, yeah, it's not that much as I'm talking in English here, and I don't know why or... And just this picture, it's kind of a psychedelic picture, because maybe therefore they put it into this blog you can find on Medium. Just type into Google Mark Fisher acid communism, or acid communism first, or simply acid communism. And there you find this on a Medium page, which is a page for publishing blogs. This is nice about this page, that they put the images in the whole broad, the whole width of the page. So there's no border there of the image. This is great, and this picture is so great. Hopefully I can remember to put the link there. And there, yeah, I looked at all kinds of pictures from Seoul at night. But, so you start to behave as if I had crossed the border, and as if this was becoming uncomfortable to you. And probably you thought, you're like, yeah, this is pretty interesting with this podcast, but he's not really speaking from his heart, he's not being honest in this way. Actually aiming at something else, and we both know it, that there's something about our connection that's emotional binding is very, very good between us, and therefore it could have to do with love. And his words, he's telling me about the podcast, but he's actually aiming at this emotional, crazily intense bond, connection, communication that we share and experience through all those months. But Lilia, yeah, it's totally this way, that I was coward also, yeah. But I also want to tell you that this is my whole point, that also you could, that if it's this way, we both know it, maybe, hopefully, in a way, I hope, that then it's also, in the same way, your responsibility to act on it and to not let this slip away, this beautiful, very valuable chance of exploring what there is, what there could be between us. And yeah, this is also, in the same way, your responsibility. And everything else would be anti-feminist to me, to think that somehow a man, yeah, blah, blah, no. Therefore, I can explain my behavior only in this way, that I was acting as if, yeah, I was wanted to take some steps, but wanted you to meet me in the middle. And I was willing to, yeah, come up with something and tell you this or that, something more personal, something about myself, my podcast, like my identity. But I didn't want to go all in from the beginning and tell you, oh, Lydia, there's this thing that I felt, I was falling in love, and now I'm even separated from my girlfriend because I already recorded this one episode, me and my people, and sent it to her, and she disapproved, and then, yeah, we both felt I should end now. can't go on with this relationship right now. It was even more from my side, at least I felt back then in December, that I didn't want to go back to these fights. I knew she wasn't able to understand me, my standpoint in polyamory, then it's fine, but then I want to focus on this now. Maybe only in this imaginary way, talking only in the podcast. So there's my point. I didn't want to go all in and tell you all this, because it's beautiful to let it go slowly. Or, yeah, I don't even know all my thoughts back then. Also was recording a lot and writing, but still can never get that clear. Therefore, you don't even know what you're doing. It also had to do with the oppression at work. Especially this December was so stressful. One day I was working, last week of work, like working 10 hours, and these clients again from Porsche got me so riled up. Also this week, these idiots were demanding from me on the last day of work before Christmas to take live a new program version, which I don't have a problem with it, but the whole thing, yeah, somehow they really, it has to do also with our boss, because our boss back then interfered and there was a problem. He was coming to help somehow, being in the hospital, but he never can let go, I guess, and there was working until 7 o'clock in the evening. But all this, yeah, had an influence then in December on my mood and mindset, and there the things weren't that clear and didn't even want them to be that clear. It's all in the dark. And so my interpretation is exactly this, that you wished I had been so brazen and forthcoming, telling you everything or writing this up like in this secret love letter. But because I didn't, you were frustrated and therefore started to behave in this way, like reflecting, like a spiegeln, like in a mirror, mirroring this hypothetical behavior that I should have displayed in your will, after your desire. So your desire was that I behave in this way, and therefore, when I didn't, you were behaving as if I had actually done this, and as if you were now rejecting me and telling me this is a step over the line, or wow, what are you allowing yourself? Was allowed to do, and I have to be this way, pretend like I'm really caught here by surprise and not knowing what is this colleague even doing here, and wow, this is so weird, and this is the point. And I also wrote about this in the Hiku text, and I read in number 192. Maybe I should translate it to English. I don't know why I felt like that, but I felt, yeah, I also have my pride. Maybe because of, you have to compare yourself to Hiku, competitor, possibly. But I felt I have my pride as a writer, and if I write this up in German, then the original language shouldn't be changed, because by translation you always lose something, and it's not good. Like in this Roberto Bolaño work, Spanish work, I noticed so many times when reading it in German, well, this translation takes off the edge, it takes takes off much of the original gist, the essence, the style, or the fragrance, the variation of sounds and mental images making this text so unique. But it's all, at least altered by translation. It's not good. But in the Hiku text, I wrote in German about you putting up a stop sign. Yeah, this was your behavior, putting up a stop sign in order to make it appear as if I had been, as if you had caught me there infringing some kind of border, as if I had been in this moment intending to, cross your border or make any kind of indecent move. And this was your stop sign, you behave this way because you reflect the hypothetical behavior that you wish I had displayed. And I gotta tell you that I wish in the same way or even more than you that I had the guts to do this. And it's totally this way. Also, since these episodes now are a beautiful product and everything, and discovering Instagram now, wouldn't have had the audacity to see myself. I can see myself also as an Instagrammer without all this crazy podcast stuff. But still, the point is really, I'm now wandering around. I don't know if the signal, I guess the signal is good. I'm wandering around the house now. No, but it would have been better to play with open cards. We say in German, mit offenen Karten spielen. Or I don't know what, but simply that it's always been nice talking to you, Winter. And it's totally this way. As I said already 4 months ago, at the beginning of all these episodes, I guess number 40 is why. I said somehow something like, it's like an arm was missing, like part of my body was missing now that I'm not talking to you. And this, I totally meant it and still feel it in a way, but also have to say, these last weeks with Instagram, somehow this took off the edge. I'm not thinking about you or wasn't recording so many episodes, and this is great also. Wow. At least, again, I got some alternation, abwechslung. Wow. Instagram, really, videos. But I feel now that I have to draw to close, because, this is getting out of hand, all my producing. And I also want to go on studying a little, at least studying, watching some learning videos for this exam, because you always feel unprepared and unworthy, and what kind of a man am I? I'm not worthy to this bright that is Microsoft. Microsoft will certify me and give me this test and make me maybe feel dignified in case I can pass through this glorious arch. But our desire, of course, is all interlaced with capitalism. And this was the point of Mark Fisher, what I read yesterday on the balcony. You can see it on Instagram there. This video about the Levi's jeans in Soviet Russia. And the desire in capitalism. It's not possible to escape. Some people say, you're a hypocrite as a communist using a laptop and a Mac, an Apple computer even. And so Fisher's point was that he mentioned this commercial from Russia in order to say that after the 2008 financial crisis, there was this movement Occupy Wall Street, also in London, Occupy London. And back then I wasn't so political, just that I felt back then, 2008 and 9, was a huge crisis and also fear here in Germany, but Mercedes-Benz, the company, was going through some really hard times. Like, there was no big crisis like that after this, the corona pandemic is also had an economic impact, but this is a joke compared to the 2008 crisis. Back then I really felt also, wow, this could, what could happen to me? My father could lose my job and he could lose everything, the privileges here, all this wealth. And I remember we were at the vacation in France at the beach and I was reading a newspaper, German newspaper, I guess, and feeling, wow, this is real shit, wow, it could all go down, and how is this possible? We're all depending on this, and what would happen? But when the economy goes down, what? Well, who's even in control of this? I mean, something's got to be planned, right? Something's got to be done. But, yeah, this is the point about capitalism. It's so stupid, and it wouldn't even work out if there were no actual thinking people like there are in China. Because China saved us, at least that's what I read later from this German economist Flassbeck, that Germany, so being so stupid, wouldn't even have made it out of this crisis if it hadn't been for its export model, being able to export to China, and China was then clearing the way, investing in the crisis, and somehow paving the way also for other countries to get back on track, and Germany relying heavily on exports, of course, like 50% of our economy depending on it. It's like crazy, insane economic model. It's also damaging, well, in first place, our own working class, because wages are then lower than they ought to be, but also those other countries out-competing them through unfair means by exactly those low wages. But never mind this. It's just that back then, this was 2008-09, this huge crisis. I also felt this, or I was about 14 in this time. And so Mark Fisher told us that, well, those conservatives back then, so in England there's this conservative party Tory, and a Tory member of parliament then said, Louise Mensch, which is a nice name because it means man, or yeah, human in German, Mensch. Louise mentioned and said, well, these people, they are hypocrites because they're protesting capitalism, but then they are standing in line at Starbucks waiting for a coffee and using their iPhones and everything. So Mark Fisher tells us, and this is so interesting because she tells us that, yeah, rhetorically they refuse capitalism, they go out protesting, but libidinally they don't. So libidinal, this is simply means desire, or yeah, the desire structure, the inner economy of desires. This also nice, has to do with your own personal emotional economy. So libidinally, they don't refuse capitalism, but they also want it. And this is an interesting point. It's true to a certain degree, but of course we all depend on material things. I mean, I need to eat, and if capitalism is the worldwide system, well, there's only some countries like China, North Korea, Cuba, Vietnam, who at least try to impose something else and to have a communist party, the party they're ruling. But leaving that aside, I mean, these are really special cases. On a global level, it's all capitalist, and also those countries like China have to orient themselves and are integrated in the global market. So then, yeah, you simply depend on capitalism to eat. You couldn't eat, I mean, you could pick up some trees from out there now in summer, I guess, here are some apple trees around. But really, this is a stupid argument looking at it like this. So what should I do? I mean, could live in a commune like those hippies. This was also my idea. Wanted to found a commune, or at least explore that possibility in my writing. This was the basic idea of a novel I started 3 years ago, and was the first real novel that I started to write extensively on. but then at some point also let go. But this is a great idea to say that revolution is a great thing, but as long as it doesn't occur, we could also try to find, at least found, a little space where we have this communal production and distribution of goods, production and communal democratic decision making about what should be produced, what has to be bought, imported, what has to be traded, and what should be the general organization. Of course, there has to be also a top-down structure, in a way authoritarian, to come to a decision. We need someone to be in charge, but also should involve democratic elements, like the workers being in charge and not being so obedient, like here in capitalism, obedient to this fetish of, yeah, it has to be capitalist, there's no other way really. So to all these ideological truths and so-called necessities of capitalism. Therefore this podcast name is great. I mentioned earlier in the video, in the first, I guess, about Viv and Frank, those hackers. Their podcast is called Alternativlos. It's a German word that Angela Merkel used to utilize a lot, apply this word without alternative, alternativlos. So, but still, this about founding a commune, this is not the real solution. This can be for some people who feel the urge maybe, and but still you see also that my novel hasn't made this large progress, and this maybe indicates something, that we all depend on those outer structure on society, and it can't be changed in this way rapidly or all at once, like those hippies thought, although there might be a great base to this idea and this whole rebellion against their parents and their ancestors and the ancestral laws of society. But it's to come up with something better, we really have to work hard and cannot just sit back and say, oh well, it's gonna develop this way slowly. And it has to be authoritarian in a way of introducing a new state power. A commune is not enough. One city being socialist is not enough. It's gonna be crushed again by the capitalist state power. It might be that they leave them alone as long as they don't pose a threat to the capitalist order, but once that people get really grasp of it, see this as an alternative, and people really think, wow, this is a great communist city here, somehow autonomously, somehow things work differently and everyone has a job and wealth is distributed more fairly, more equally. Well, at this point the capitalist state would surely invade or bring down this communist project by some other means, like through military, but maybe not even that, and first try it through economic means, blocking. And this is the point. So yeah, we have to fight to establish a communist state, and can't confine ourselves to goals that are too small. And yeah, so therefore, until this happens, the revolution takes place, we are simply left alone here in this darkness of capitalism, this alienation process. And Louis mentioned in this conservative Tory, which she said, das hat kein Hand und Fuß. Doesn't make sense, doesn't have hand nor foot. It's a German saying. Well, if you use an iPhone or a laptop, you use shoes to walk, well, then you're already pro-capitalist. This is a position that's not even to be taken seriously, so I don't even need to respond in any way to this, or this is already enough what I've been saying. Although it's interesting, of course, thinking about this, that yeah, we're all integrated and therefore also sheer impossible to think outside the box, think outside the capitalist normalcy. But you have to, I mean, we want to survive as humanity, also as individuals, then capitalism cannot be the answer and it will die eventually. Or if it doesn't die, then humanity will pretty surely die, because we see those wars are also programmed into it, and at some point, yeah, nuclear disaster or something else going to happen. And yeah, climate change also being a threat, but not such a large threat, at least from my perspective, as it's painted nowadays from the left. We should focus mainly on those social fractures of society, and this posing the largest threat, that large portions of the masses, of the actual population of our countries, even in these Western societies, are so disintegrated. There's no representation for them politically in the media, and they are keeping quiet because they're making felt like they themselves are to be blamed. They could have worked harder, tried harder to be successful, become successful in this framework of society, but they haven't, and therefore they're guilty of their own. And so people, in a way, believe this story and buy into it, and as long as that's the case, this liberal system somehow will continue working, but at some point it doesn't, there comes an economic crisis and things get really nasty, riled up, and such fascist parties like the AfD are going to take advantage of it, and there anything could happen, I don't know what, but it doesn't have to be here in Germany, but some point in some country that could break out another war, or even more dangerous, like now in Ukraine, which of course is also very deadly to Ukrainians and Russians, but yeah, could happen some bigger escalation, even in a new war or some economic crisis leading to real turmoil, I guess. Nice word. And we all don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there's no way of controlling capitalism. We just leave it off the chain in a way. And as long as we fetishize it in this way and think this is the source and the boundary of our existence, as long as there's going to be real danger of even, yeah, to all of you, kind of even surviving and not even talking about a happy, fulfilled life here. But this would be all possible to achieve if only we dared to fight back against capitalist alienation and expropriation and enslavement of our minds and bodies. Let me just read this from Mark Fisher's book, Post-Capitalist Desire, page 39. This is former Tory MP and so-called chick lit author Louise Mensch. I can't believe she's called Mensch. It's like a Daft Martin Amis character, isn't it? Don't know who's this Martin Amis. Louise Mensch, who appeared on Have I Got News For You, the fairly lame satirical BBC political show at the time of Occupy London. What she famously claimed was that the protesters of Occupy had no authenticity or validity because they went into Starbucks and also maybe they had iPhones. Certainly others said that they've got iPhones and therefore they can really be anti-capitalist. So there's a lineage, isn't there, I think, from those first two commercials into the Louise Mensch position. So he refers here to another commercial that he played in the beginning and then to the one I read about yesterday, the Levi's blue jeans commercial. The first one was one from Apple. So there's a narrative behind it, which is a story about desire. These protesters have the products of advanced capitalism. Therefore, it's not only that they're hypocrites, it's that they don't really want what they say they want. They don't really want a wealth beyond capitalism. What they want is all of the fruits of capitalism. And ultimately, that's why capitalism will win. They may claim ethically that they want to live in a different world, but libidinally, at the level of desire, they are committed to living within the current capitalist world. Ah, this is so great. I just was looking for this word ethic, because I said earlier rhetorically, but it's kind of the same, right? But I don't know. You have to think what would be ethical for you in your life. And yeah, this is also today, like a bogus critique, those brave climate protesters, which, yeah, I respect and admire those young people protesting with Fridays for Future. Just that I wish they were a little more revolutionary also. And older people like my mother, they incline themselves to parties like the Green Party, painting this on themselves like they're pro-climate. But actually, this is just another variety of capitalism. Selling capitalism as a even cleaner system now that it can be climate neutral. But so this has also to do with ethics, to think that, yeah, as a green, like a green minister president, also MP, but not the same as in England, the MPs we have here are the authority, supreme authority, head of government of the local states, the provinces, Bundesländer. And we have this guy here, Kretschmann from the Green Party. So this is, yeah, the thing that when you're so wealthy, like here in the Southwest, so much industry with Mercedes and Porsche in Stuttgart, and so many other firms, smaller firms that are also exporting all this machinery and engineering products to all the world. But then you feel, oof, maybe also a little guilty and ill about everything that's wrong in the world. I mean, you can have your nice life here and have everything that you have, but what about all the people in the world? There's so much misery and poverty, and therefore you can vote green and say, oh yeah, this is an ethical decision, and these guys will fix it, and they will make appear a green capitalism. Now we have to take care of the earth. So it's not even about the poverty and misery in Africa or South America anymore, what's concerning us, but really the climate, and somehow future generations are going to look back at us. And this is our moral dilemma, and therefore being more ethical. But talking about these Greens, who are really the worst in a way, worse than the conservatives, even also more pro-war, pro-Ukraine war than anyone else, like Annalena Baerbock, the foreign minister, and then Secretary of State, as they say in the US. She inclines herself a lot to the US, seems like she want to be an American girl, or I don't know, but the point is that it has to do with the libidinally, or I don't know how to pronounce this. And let me keep on reading just a bit. At the level of desire, they are committed to living within the current capitalist world. These three things are the negative inspiration for the course, where I'm going to pose the question, is there really a desire for something beyond capitalism? And partly this is informed then by recent debates on accelerationism. Okay, so accelerationism, the idea that we have to accelerate everything, the breakdown of capitalism. We have to be even more consuming product, stupid product, or yeah, letting the logic of capitalism develop until its last consequences, so that it finally will break down. And this is somehow, yeah, it's also a childish concept. As a communist, you shouldn't really identify this kind of seems really unethical. Like, wow, I mean, you can grasp and enjoy the fruits of capitalism as long as it lasts, like me, also like my MacBook and my microphones and all these fruits and books and this nice house here. But still, it's taking it a little too far with accelerationism in my mind. But now I'm already getting tired. This is also so great to feel every time, wow, the speaking gets you tired, but not that much I feel now. When I'm speaking only and not recording myself in a video, this is not that stressful, right? Because I don't care how I look. Don't have to look at my hair every time and think, well, is this appropriate? Am I beautiful? Oh, this is great. So, I guess I want to read this, what I promised, the lyrics of Crystal Lion. Could also sing it, but I don't know. Not so sure of my singing capabilities. I tried it once in my podcast or a couple of times in episode number 60 or 61, I guess, but wasn't so great. Right? So let's go on here. This is from the show notes of episode 172. I've been running in and out of so many dreams. I've been cutting myself into pieces over. This way you feel, this love I need. Oh, right now I want to be the one who hurts you. Oh, and now I want to be the one who hurts you. Be the one who wrecks you. Time is the only constant I know, but I can't forget you, even though you're so-called crystal line. You've got the life. All right now, I want to be the one who hurts you. Oh, and now I want to be the one who wrecks you. Oh, crystal lie. You've brought the lies into my troubled mind. There was a fire. It burned a hole right through my soul and took control. Oh, right now I want to be the one who hurts you. Oh, and now I want to be the one who breaks you. Oh, right now I want to be the one who hurts you. Oh, and now I want to be the one who breaks you. And here it already stops. I don't know if it goes on, actually. Maybe the chorus is repeated sometimes. But the point is, what this now made me think of is the song that I played in episode number 2 of TSY, some 4 months ago, something like this. And this song, I know, yeah, it was published back then in April. I recorded on January 17th, I guess. Remember that date somehow. And this song was called Sweet Little Lies. I was talking about Stalin, the history, reading something about it. But actually, well, what I thought then, actually, I thought, yeah, this interpretation on history, this is a good sideline, yeah, telling, of course, the liberal views on history, condemning communism and making it appear as communism and fascism somehow were working together or were kind of the same. This is truly an ugly and wrong outlook on history. And therefore, there's all these lies about Stalin. Of course, it's fact that, yeah, he also ordered to kill people, and there were all those cleansings or so-called show trials. But we have to analyze it carefully and not fall into this trap of rejecting Stalin's policies as a whole and believing that he was so inhumane. He definitely wasn't as inhumane as our Western politicians, like also Angela Merkel. I mean, only look at her. She's like an automat, a computer. This is really her policy, carrying out the anonymous rule of capitalism, which also means killing people like in Afghanistan. But the point is that Sweet Little Lies, politics is only a sideline, right? The lies lay in your eyes, Lilia, in your eyes, that, yeah, or in your words then on Telegram, in your whole behavior, not talking to me again, that, yeah, your sweet little eyes, they were telling me something totally different than your words then. And therefore I felt your words were lies and the truth lay in your eyes. And this also figures in this song. I want to read this as a closing note here. So Sweet Little Lies, nice song. By who's even this? I don't know, what is the band called? Young Chinese Dogs. It's also nice because I was meeting this Chinese woman back then. Just when I published this episode, right? A few days later, I published it. Went to Switzerland. And yeah. I also greet you, dear spring, in case you might be listening. And tell you that, yeah, hopefully we can meet again. In September or anytime. I don't want to say anything about my intentions about love and friendship because it's even too stupid, difficult to figure it out, like with Manita and Lilia. But it's great. In a way, I also feel that you are this stone holding everything together, because feeling that there could be another person makes it appear as you also have to invest yourself and be loyal to the one or two persons that you already feel that close, and you can't keep playing on like this forever, like now with the podcast. But okay, with this, I want to read this song lyrics, Sweet Little Lies. Tell me all your sweet, sweet little lies, all about the dark places you hide. Oh no, but wait, this isn't even the right song, right? This, of course, other songs probably call the same, but let me type in this Young Chinese Dogs lyrics. Ah, yeah, there. This is more concise. It's not that long, this lyrics. It's a nice poetry. Something in your eyes, something in your mind, something at your back you're trying to forget. Something in your heart that once I tore apart. Something tells me that we're all lies. Sweet little lies, words come and go. Sweet little lies, and I taught you so. Sweet little lies, and I wouldn't mind if there wasn't something, if there wasn't something in your eyes. Oh, oh, something during night, something you designed, something's haunting me, a thing I cannot see. Something in the dark seems to fall apart. Something tells me that we're all lies. Sweet little lies, words come and go. Sweet little lies, and I taught you so. Sweet little lies, and I wouldn't mind if there wasn't something, if there wasn't something in your eyes. Well, that's only repeating the chorus. But this isn't so correct. At least there's missing one thing at the ending, because it says, in your sweet little eyes. But this is a nuance here, but a nuance, but it's important to me. So let me slip that in. Sweet little lies, words come and go. Sweet little lies, and I taught you so. Sweet little lies, and I wouldn't mind if there wasn't something, if there wasn't something in your sweet little lies. Oh, lies or eyes. Words come and go, sweet little lies. And I taught you so, sweet little lies. And I wouldn't mind if there wasn't something, if there wasn't something in your sweet little eyes. And this, I gotta tell you, Lydia, that I wouldn't mind everything you did to me. Or, being separate and not being friends or not even talking. Wouldn't mind if there hadn't been something in your eyes. And with this, you told me something, but I don't know what, and that I have to find out, I guess. And this is the feeling now, and therefore it feels so nasty. Like my arm, or a vital organ is missing. Wow, and I can see the moon now here outside. This is, wow, beautiful, hidden behind the clouds now. But with this, I really gotta end this recording and tell you, hey, yo, follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, or best on my podcast, because there I'm native, it's my native land. And it doesn't get you so jacked up and riled up when you're only speaking. And this is the sweet little voice, the most precious instrument, right? So I tell you good night and sleep well. Have a relaxing, restful night, and probably I get back to you, dear followers and listeners, tomorrow, a brand new day. Bye bye, auf Wiederhören.